Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is now the 21st of May in 2025. How are tricks today? Thanks to Dermot Whelan for yesterday, by the way. It's not a bad day in Dublin at all, although it is a bit colder than we were used to, which will be grand. Are you up to much yourself? Sure, join the group chats on the WhatsApp. That's 087 032 32 32, and you can also write longer letters if you feel like the desire to do so. Oliver@rte.ie. On the show today, we've a young fella who's just scored the number one Irish album in the charts, Moncrief. It's a stage name. He played minor for Waterford Hurlers once upon a time, and then he moved to London when he was just 19 years of age to follow his dreams. We've played his very boppy, sunny tunes on this show quite a few times. His family have been through a lot, so it's nice to see him and all of them get to the place he's in his life now after working very, very hard. Described as one to watch by Elton John a couple of years ago. Well, we're watching now and we'll chat to him later on this morning. 51551 is the text. Now, under the tag Norman People, the journal.ie and all of the news sites, by the way, are diving into this very unseemly row between Sinn Féin's Angus O'Snodhig and the Housing Minister James Brown. What are they shouting about? By the way, James Brown should often come with the prefix embattled Housing Minister. That's all of them. And it's all about our Norman history. What have the Normans ever done for us? I hear you say, are Irish men only ever thinking about the Norman Empire? Well, James Brown is maybe someone who does, and he's brought to Cabinet and won approval for plans for Ireland to join a year of commemorations, some say celebrations, for the European Year of the Normans in 2027, something you had never considered before. Who are they? Well, the Normans were from Normandy in France, as the name suggests, and famously in 1066 they conquered England and then they landed in Ireland about 100 years later. The Irish Times says their impact on Irish society is incalculable. Language, laws and the landscape are all transformed. The Normans even introduced hedgerows and rabbits to the Irish countryside. Sorry, I never knew. The Normans gave us the ditches. Hedges, I know, for much of the country, but up our part of the world, definitely ditches. Why don't we just celebrate the hedges and maybe not Strongbow and everything that associated there, because, you know, the ditches are being ditched and the countryside looks very baldy lately. There's only a few dying ash trees around the place. But anyway, back to the Normans. Kilkenny, Kildare, Athlone and Kildare and are just some of the towns founded by the Normans. St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin, Dublin Castle, Kilkenny Castle and Carrickfergus Castle testify to the reputation as master builders. Also, by the way, there's the old feudal system as well they brought along. Maybe the Normans are to blame for the housing crisis. That would be a handy one. They were the landlords, of course, with the serfs and the tenants and all that. No wonder the housing minister is a fan. Landlordism. Empty castles tax now, we say. Vacant castles. There we go. More history. Back to this Rona McGreevy piece in the Times. Their legacy endures also through surnames here. Burke, Butler, Joyce, Power, Walsh, Griffith, Lynch and so many others that have for so long been a part of Irish life and that many assume are Irish names. They're not. They're in fact Normans, French by the way of England. And we can also throw in Darcy's and all the Fitzes, Fitz everything, and Coogan's, Nugent's as well, Hussey's and many more names as well. In fact, there are times I've said Fine Gael politicians with Norman names include three former Taoiseach, John A. Costello, Garrett Fitzgerald and Simon Harris. We knew it. Simon Harris is a rampaging Norman. That's why he wants fighter debts. Bang, bang. By the way, we were on about horrible histories here on Monday and Terry Deary teaching history to children. Well, BBC has an excitable comedy character called Max Hartrate, and he very excitedly informs youngsters about what the Normans did. Now, he's talking about Britain and Ireland here, and get yourself ready because he's very, very loud.
Next thing you know, there are castles, cathedrals and monasteries all over the place. Everyone's speaking English, there's a new legal system and the place is divided into counties with fields and hedges to help farmers grow crops and pay rent to guess who? The Normans. There you go, the Normans in Ireland. Extremely violent, but really well organised and here to stay. Or as we might say, that's us now.
It's the Normans, bang, bang. So the Normans did some good things. On the other hand, continues the Irish Times, This is where the minister will get sweaty palms. The Normans were the originators of the 850 years of oppression when Strongbow landed in Ireland in 1169 with a ragtag of mercenaries to help Dermot McMurrough recover his Leinster kingdom. So he's invited over and then they stayed. And, you know, we knew there was a catch to this. This is why Sinn Féin's O'Snoddig, best known for his alleged printer scandal back in the day, he's up in arms about this. Which might be a wrong turn of phrase now that I think of it. He says this is an offensive plan to celebrate the birth of England's first Norman king, William the Conqueror. Not at all getting carried away, he adds. What will they think of next? A festival of Cromwell? A famine queen jubilee? This has shades of the infamous Charlie Flanagan, Charlie Tannigan, Black and Tans commemoration when he tried to celebrate the Royal Irish Constabulary with disastrous results. On the eve of a general election, wasn't it? Remember those days fondly? A spokesman for James Brown admitted, and I'm going to paraphrase their comments here. It's basically they're kind of going, oh yeah, I know like the whole Strongbow thing like led to lots of bloodshed and subjugation and stuff, but like think of the cool intermarriages that led to really fancy surnames with notions and toast and maize castles that we can do brunch and afternoon tea in for hen party planning vibes and stuff. Again, I'm just paraphrasing spokesman. That's what I think they meant to kind of say. The reason he's talking about this, by the way, is James Brown has heritage in his Department of Disasters, which is why he's involved. But he is the Minister for Housing, and it's kind of strange to be having this row about Strongbow, given everything that's going on. And also for Sinn Féin, just to reiterate that William the Conqueror wasn't English. And I've been getting lessons from our northern producer. You see, up there they did the Normans in their A-level education at senior level, but down south it's just junior cert history. By the way, that should be a hint that we only studied at junior cert level and not at leaving cert level. But William the Conqueror, he was a Norman who defeated the English and then the French. Basically merged into the culture there after the Vikings were defeated. They were basically the last successful conquest of England and ended the Anglo-Saxon era, and the English have been ruling themselves ever since with some French influence. Also, don't forget, Eamon Gilmore. Do you remember the time Tom Cruise came? I'd say it was around 2011 when we were happy for half an hour, and they gave Tom Cruise a certificate of Irish heritage, which was a thing that were starting and then quickly abandoned. But it turned out that his only connection to Ireland was a general who came over with Strongbow and settled in Roscommon. And I suppose it didn't matter because I presume Tom Cruise's people just left the certificate in a skip somewhere on the road back to Dublin Airport on the way out. Meanwhile, in actual housing news, the Cian Corlaithe of Verona Murphy has found the Minister for Housing failed to comply with the Dáil rules when refusing to release data on social and affordable housing schemes on a question from Ono Brin. This is the Dublin Midwest TD, Sinn Féin. He'd sought data on five different social and affordable programmes, including applications for funding, approvals and how many applications were pending. But basically the question was refused, the data wasn't released, citing commercial sensitivity, and the top civil servant at the Department of Housing said it would be too cumbersome to collate all of this information. So Verona Murphy, the Cian Corlaithe, looked into it, and in a rare moment of harmony with the opposition, she said she agreed with Ono Brin and said that the replies do not comply with the provisions of the standing order. And that's, in other words, the question should have been answered and it wasn't answered, basically. So there you go. Sticky wicket time. Also to more important news, you will know the teenager Cara Darmody, a young person doing mighty stuff, by the way, outside the Dáil at the moment. She slept overnight in a tent. It's part of her 50-hour protest. She's calling on the government, as so many others have in the past, because her family are affected, like thousands and thousands of parents and families. The large number of children waiting on an assessment for a disability or autism, assessment of needs for 6 months or longer. She says she's made, this is Cara, 100 trips to Leinster House campaigning on the issue, making her the very seasoned activist. She's only 15 years of age. She's from Tipperary and she's photographed in many news sites this morning with her school books at a table outside the Parliament. She's making great use of her time there because she's studying for her school exams while campaigning for disability rights. She could be reading about the Normans as we speak, in fact. And you'll definitely have seen her in the news last night. The opposition leaders were there clamouring to be in shot with her. Mary Lou McDonald seemed to be particularly taking ownership of Cara. She had her hand literally on her back and was kind of introducing her to the other opposition leaders as though she belongs here to me. This is my Cara. Yes, you can meet her, Independent Ireland. Okay, there's your 10 seconds and on you go. But it is an important campaign. It's inspired the unusual occurrence of unity among the opposition benches. So Cara Darmody has done something we thought we'd only see once for the speaking rights row and never again, but it's happening again. And that combined opposition force brought a motion before the Dáil yesterday calling for an emergency fund to clear this appalling backlog. When asked whether the government would comply with the law, that they actually passed and set legislation that it couldn't go beyond 6 months to get assessment of needs. The Taoiseach, Micheál Martens, didn't address the specific question, but he pointed to efforts to examine new legislation to address the backlog. Mary Regan is writing in today's Irish Independent that the coalition appears to be pointing to an approach which the Minister for Children, Norma Foley, said would be a more abridged form of what's been in place. That sounds like they're going to shorten the time it takes to assess children from the current average of 30 hours. But a lot of people who know about this very important assessment say, no, they need those 30 hours. You can't just make it shorter so that you can reduce the backlog. You're not doing it properly then. Mary Lou McDonald and the opposition are urging the government to abide by their own laws rather than changing it. Is there actually punishment, though, for the government and presumably the HSE with primary responsibility here for breaking the law? Doesn't seem to be. Norma Foley has said yesterday the system is a broken system, so she's not disputing this one. That's a minister who's been kind of saying it as it is for a while, particularly on the Grace report, and now admitting the system is broken. And we know that a meeting is taking place right now between the Taoiseach and Cara Darmody, so she won't be reading about the Normans again until after that meeting. That was due to start at 9 o'clock. So we'll have a look and see what comes out of this. But I know, and we've spoken to parents here, they're in dire straits about what they can do with their kids and getting them access to the autism services. I mean, if you pour money in there, surely to God, you'd have people willing to do it, wouldn't you? 10 million has gone to the NFL in America to stage a match here in Ireland, which they're saying is very important. I mean, I don't think hotels are struggling in the city and tourism bodies. But then it's kind of like, that's a bit of whataboutery I'm practicing. 51551 is the text, by the way. Speaking of youngsters, front page story in the Irish Examiner. Irish teen drug use is down, but gambling is up. We'll dig into the figures. It's a huge European study. They're looking at age 15 to 16 year olds across 40 countries. Irish children are far above the European average in 1995. They were in 1995. They're now well below the European average for consumption of alcohol and cigarettes. It's an average for cannabis, which is a very dangerous drug that opens gateway to everything and is a very depressing drug. And also the e-cigarettes or vapes were about average there. So we're doing better on drug use and alcohol use among teenagers. And teenagers seem to be drinking far less. But gambling figures, which have only been started to collect these since 2019, 29% of 15, 6-year-old Irish, 15 teenagers essentially, said they gambled in the last year, compared to, that's well up on 5 or 6 years ago. There's a lot of gambling going on. And I've heard people say over the years that when you see ads for gambling, you do wonder, are we going to be looking at those as like we do cigarette ads from the recent past? Possibly we will. Of course, it is mentioned in the bulletin as well, but I want to mention Gaza because I think Gaza is very much in our minds, particularly in this country, every day at the moment. And you get the sense very often that there aren't enough cries of anguish from inside Israel at what's been done to particularly the innocent people of Gaza. And I heard someone on Morning Ireland pointed out, it's not pointed out often enough, but the polls inside the country of Israel show most people are opposed to Benjamin Netanyahu's long and terrible war and the now unbelievable starvation of the 2 million people there, all as part of the revenge for the Hamas attacks of October 7th, 2023. Yair Golan is the leader of the opposition Democrats in Israel. It's a small party there. It only has 4 seats, but he's a hero as a Jewish Israeli to his fellow Israelis because he drove to the zone of those Hamas atrocities 20 months ago with his own gun. Why does he have a gun? Well, he's once deputy chief of staff for Israel's military. He's got a long army history and he's from the left in Israel and he's been ramping up his criticism way more. Most of the criticism inside Israel has been to do with bringing the hostages home and that Benjamin Netanyahu maybe isn't listening to his allies enough. But now they've turned to a different tone, which more matches the kind of reasonable cry from inside Europe. And so he now says Netanyahu has led an unjustifiably brutal campaign. He is making Israel as isolated as apartheid-era South Africa. This is a quote from Yair Golan. A sane country doesn't engage in fighting against civilians, doesn't kill babies as a hobby, and doesn't set the expulsion of a population as a goal. Netanyahu has responded by saying that this Jewish Israeli opposition leader, his comments are anti-Semitic, blood libels against IDF soldiers and the state of Israel. But Golan has doubled down on his comments. He says it's a corrupt war. The left has been too frightened to speak out, and we should condemn what's happening much more vocally. And it's kind of a reminder Netanyahu is propped up in power by these far-right extremists, and they've been condemning even that piecemeal aid that Israel has promised on Sunday, and they said the aid trucks had gone in on Monday, but as you heard in the bulletin, the United Nations says that the aid hasn't reached anyone in need yet. And even Israelis protesting the war in the last couple of days, they've been arrested. They've gone to the border with Gaza. They are Israelis, and the Justice Department of the country is controlled by Ben-Gvir. He's one of the far-right leaders, the other one being Smotrich, keeping Netanyahu in office. But I read in the Wall Street Journal this morning, they say that most of the aid going to Gaza is stolen by Hamas when it gets there. Some of the supplies will then be sold back to the people, says an editorial, which finances Hamas's war effort and then in turn sustains their rule there. And it's very difficult to get verified information on the ground because journalists are banned from entering and local reporters have been killed. There'll be more, I'm sure, on Claire Byrne later on this morning, although the attention is turning to things like Eurovision. But don't forget the facts, and sometimes they're just so unbelievable. You think you've half imagined them when you look at them. Right, we need something to cheer us up. We're bringing in Moncrief, so I think we'll start, because he always brings nice, cheerful music that gets you going of a morning. It's 9:20. 51551 on the text.